Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning. Welcome each one to this service. Special welcome to those visitors that are here with us. May you find inspiration and rest and peace here this morning. Brother Steve made mention of the first Sunday of the year, and I gave that some thought as I was thinking about a message this morning. Thought about the looking back on the past year, and maybe looking forward to the future. And I wasn't sure whether looking back is really what we ought to be doing. I've heard pros and cons on that, and I'm not here to debate that. But I do think that we need to remember what we were saved from. I think we need to keep in mind the work that God did in our lives. We need to keep in mind the salvation that we have and where we were and the change that God wrought in our lives. I think we need to remember that we were doomed. Without God, without Christ, we were doomed to hell. But because of Jesus Christ, we're not this morning. And I think we need to look back on those things, not necessarily that they draw us down or that they give us a hankering to go back there, but we need to look back and realize what we've been redeemed from. Turn in your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 4. I'd like to look at a few verses in this chapter for a message this morning. Proverbs chapter 4, begin reading at verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes, keep them in the midst of thine heart. For they are life unto those that find them, and health to all their flesh. Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. Put away from thee a froward mouth and perverse lips, put far from thee. Let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. Ponder the paths of thy feet, and let all thy ways be established. Turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. Some time ago, I read over these verses in my personal Bible reading, and I was impressed by the thought of the proverb writer here, probably Solomon, as he wrote these words to his son. He addressed them to his son, whether that meant his literal biological son or whether he was speaking to young men with less experience than what he had, I'm not sure, but he challenges them to concentrate on the words that he's saying. He challenges them to remember the word of God. He's challenging the individual here to make sure that his life is lining up with the word and truths of God's word. And he's saying, you know, you have a responsibility to keep your heart. Keep your heart with all diligence. And then he says in verse 25, let thine eyes look right on, and let thine eyelids look straight before thee. And then in verse 27, turn not to the right hand, nor to the left. Remove thy foot from evil. This morning, as I thought about those words again, I had to think of something that was said to me when I was a child, and I would sometimes not be able to find something, or maybe I wasn't able to find it because I didn't want to. But I remember my mother saying to me, "Well, geht ein Ass noch?" In other words, follow your nose. And those words came back to me as I read this verse in Proverbs 4, verse 25. "Let thine eyes look right on, and thine eyelids look straight before thee." You know, we talk about following our nose, and I'm not sure if that expression is used as much today as it was years ago, or maybe it was just a Pennsylvania Dutch saying, I'm not sure. But, you know, we tend to, if we're going somewhere, we tend to look that direction, and we're going that direction, and we follow our nose. Simple fact is that, you know, you just go in the direction that you're looking. And I think sometimes we have a tendency, and I don't know if you do or not, but if you're walking somewhere, or maybe even if you're driving and you look off to the side, your tendency is to move that direction a little bit. That's why it's so important that when you're driving, you look straight ahead and you watch where you're going. Because if you look off to the side, the tendency is to go that direction. The other thing is, you know, if I'm walking along somewhere and I'm watching where I'm going, and then something distracts me and I look off to the side, I could stumble, I could fall. Solomon here is telling the person that he's speaking to here to look straight ahead. And that is good counsel as long as we're going in the right path. If we're on the wrong path, that's dangerous. But Solomon is saying that in light of what he said before that about wisdom and about knowledge, and how we need to grab a hold of that. We need to take fast hold of instruction. And he talks about wisdom being something that we need to grasp a hold of and follow and be in the right path. So the message title this morning is Follow Your Nose. And I'm going to refer to that as I go through this message. And I want you to think about the correlation of following our nose and then maybe where our nose is turned. As we look at the new year coming before us here, just in your own mind, right now, answer this question to God. Which way is my nose turned? You know, we talk about following your nose. And that could mean, you know, that we smell something. If there's cookies baking in the kitchen, we find our way there pretty quickly. But if there's a dead mouse or rat somewhere, we sniff that out too, and we take care of that. But I want to look more directly at following on our nose and where we're going. In Hebrews chapter 12, and I don't think I'm taking this verse out of context here, at Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 13 says this, "And make straight paths for your feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but let it rather be healed." And that word straight there, or straight paths, means plain or clear or flat or easy to travel on. Not something that has a lot of stones in it you could fall over, or roots or branches laying in the way. But it's something that is easily traveled and is easily recognized. And the Hebrew writer there is challenging us to make straight paths for our feet so that the lame aren't turned out of the way. And brothers and sisters, this morning I think it's important that we realize that the way that we make straight paths for those that are lame is by following those paths ourselves. Being an example, being a leader, being a guide to those who are lame, those who are weaker, those who may be stumbling over things, that we make the path clear and plain to them by our lives. If we follow our nose in the right direction, we're an example to those who are coming on behind, or maybe to those who are weaker. You know, little children, sometimes we tell them, well, you know, follow me, I'll lead you in a safe path. Or we take their hand and we guide them. And if they do stumble, we hold them up. And that very same thing holds true in the Christian life. As we are those individuals who others look to. And it doesn't matter where in life you find yourself, more than likely you have people who are following you. You have people who are looking to your life and to your example. And you're either being a good example or you're being a bad example. One of the two. And it's sobering when we think about that, when we think about the fact that my life is being an example to somebody. You know, we can lead somebody on the straight path, or we can lead them off the path. Another verse in Psalm 5. David here writing, and he's expressing his desire to God. Psalm 5, verse 8. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. David here is praying to God that God would make his path clear and plain before him. David is saying, God, I want to follow your path, and I want it to be plain before me. Is that what we're asking of God this morning? God, I want to know your path. And then we turn our eyes to that path and we walk that path. Well, in life, as we go through life, we face things, we face different choices, we face challenges, we hear things, we see things. What is it? What gets me to turn my head and follow my nose, maybe in the wrong direction? And this morning I want to take time to look at four different aspects of that, and this is not all inclusive. But I'd like to take a look at some of the things that might make us turn our noses in the wrong direction spiritually. You know, we have committed ourselves, and I'm sure everyone has purposed in their heart and mind to follow God. But what is it that makes me look aside and turn aside and follow my nose in the wrong direction? One of the things that came to me was, what are we reading? What am I reading? I think there's many books out there that we can be reading. And maybe reading isn't as much a thing as it used to be. I know Brother Steve is a strong proponent of reading rather than listening to audio books or so forth. And I myself am a strong proponent of especially reading the Bible. Now, the Bible is not the only thing that we may read. I think it's important that we read the Bible. But I'm not saying that the Bible is the only book that you may read. It's not the only book that I read. But we need to know the Bible well enough that when we read other books, we don't allow them to turn our nose in the wrong direction. There are many good books out there. There's many inspirational books. But we need to remember that they are not the Word of God. They are men's thoughts. They are men's ideas. And we need to be careful that we don't allow those ideas to turn our noses in the wrong direction. My wife tells me that I read books very critically, and I probably do. But I've been kind of trained that way because of some of the books I did read and followed the wrong thoughts and ideas. It sounded good. It was something that really grabbed a hold of me emotionally. We're going to look at that a little bit later, but something that really inspired me, and I followed my nose in that direction, and I realized I'm not on the right path anymore. Because oftentimes what happens when we do that is we get focused on one thing, and maybe that thing in itself may not be bad, but what happens is it takes us off the path of including the all things of God. And I think we need to be careful that we do not allow ourselves to be turned to the right hand or to the left, but that we take the gospel as a whole. Another thing that challenged me is who or what am I listening to? Some weeks ago, prior to me working on this message, we had a young couple at our house for a meal, and most of you would know who they are. Most of you remember Mike Lead and Deanna. Brother Mike was ordained minister in their church in June. And we had time to sit down with them and just to visit with them. And our discussion got into many different areas. And one of the areas we got into is the influences around us today and what people are listening to and paying attention to, especially like the podcasts and the vlogs and the YouTube preachers and so forth that people are listening to and promoting and being caught up in. And I had the experience here not too long ago of an individual sending me a link to a YouTube preacher. And he said, "You got to listen to this fella. He is good. He says things that the Mennonite preachers are afraid to say. And he says it like it is. And he would fit into the Mennonite pulpit." Well, I have to admit, he was saying a lot of the right things. I did listen to it. And he was saying a lot of the right things. But brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, he would not fit into the Mennonite pulpit. Not only because of the way he looked and the way he was dressed, but because of the lifestyle that I found out that he's living when I did some research on this man. Yes, he said all the right things. But he was a divorced man and remarried. He was an individual that was not living the whole of the gospel. And that is where the danger lies, not because of what they're saying, but because of what they're doing. And what it tends to do to us as we listen to them is we become so involved in, yes, they're saying the right thing, they're Christians. And subtly, in our own minds, we begin to wonder why, if this individual is such a good Christian, why are we so strict in our standards and our decrees? Why do we demand so much when this individual is a good Christian? Brothers and sisters, we need to be careful what we're listening to or who we're listening to, because the influence of their lives can be very subtle on our convictions and our understanding of the Word of God. When we allow individuals that would fit into the Mennonite pulpit to speak to us and saying mostly the right thing, is another danger. Because as I listened to this man, he excused many things that we would call sin. And he excused them on the grounds that God knows that we're weak and God knows that we're going to sin. And that is why Jesus Christ came to die on the cross. Well, that sounds good, right? But brothers and sisters, when we're Christians, when we fall into sin, when we do things that are wrong, we do things that are against God's plan, and we commit sin, we need to realize that it's not something that we excuse, but it's something that we repent of. It's something that we realize that is coming between us and God, and we need to repent of it. Not to look at it lightly and say, well, you know, that's just, you know, we're not perfect yet. We're not perfect. But when we do sin, we must repent. Those are the things that can turn our nose in the wrong direction, and we get off the straight path that God has for us. There's many others, but I want to move on. Emotionally, what are some of the things that get me emotionally and get me to turn my nose in the wrong direction? Brothers and sisters, I'd like to say that I think sometimes we downplay the emotional part of our being. We don't realize how strong that part of our being can be. We talk about sometimes about somebody that's had an emotional breakdown or has emotional struggles or has something. But brothers and sisters, we need to realize that we are emotional people. And there are some people that can hide their emotions better than others. But our emotions affect our choices. And when I'm down, or when I'm up, those things affect what really grabs my attention. When I'm on an emotional high, I'm ready to grab a hold of anything and go with it. I'm ready to run with something new. I'm ready to face the challenges. I'm ready to go. And in those times when we're on an emotional high and we hear something new or we read something new or whatever source it comes from, we're ready to grab a hold of it and we're ready to see where it leads. Brothers and sisters, we need to be careful, because there's a lot of things out there that sound good, but they can turn our nose in the wrong direction, and we can follow that thing to the point that it leads us astray from the straight path that God has for us. When I'm an emotional low, I'm ready to grab a hold of anything that gives me an answer. Anything that gives me some hope. Anything that sheds some light I'm ready to grab a hold of it. And somebody starts talking about the love of God and how great God is, and you know, and it resonates. But brothers and sisters, we need to remember that yes, God is love. 1 John tells us all about that, about the love of God. But we also need to remember that God is a God of truth, and a God of holiness, and a God of righteousness, and a God of judgment, and a God of justice, a God of vengeance. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. All of those things are encompassed in God's love. We need to make sure that we don't follow our noses down one path so strongly and so far that we get led off the path of the total gospel. Which way is your nose turned this morning? Another aspect of emotional that I'd like to look at is an emotionally charged speaker can sway a large group of people. I've heard people say we need more fire. We need more fiery speakers, and yes, I like to listen to a fiery speaker. But brothers and sisters, if that's what it takes to challenge our lives, then we need to check ourselves. Because there's many books of the Bible that are written by people that were very timid, very humble people, very quiet people. Oh, there's some fire there too. You take Paul, you take Peter. Some of those men were very fiery. But I believe that God speaks to us in the quiet sometimes too. And if it takes something that is emotionally charged to get us to do something, I think we failed to actually listen to the Word of God. And we sit in the quiet and read the Word of God. Not a lot of noise, not a lot of clamor, but the Holy Spirit speaks to us in His quiet voice. And He points out those things that we need to improve on, that we need to return over to Him a little more fully. He speaks to us in a quiet way and lets us know that we are God's people and gives us the assurance and the peace. I heard a minister one time. When he started speaking, I thought, I'm going to fall asleep on this one. But that man stood there behind that pulpit. I don't believe he moved a foot one time. But he stood there and talked in his quiet voice. And when he was done speaking, it was like, I'm so full. I'm going to have to go away and think about this for a good long time. God speaks to us in different ways. And if all we'd ever hear is fiery preachers, or if all we'd ever hear is the calm, quiet ones, I think maybe we'd have some issues, and God knows that. He speaks to us in different ways. And we need to be careful, because an emotionally charged speaker can sway a crowd, and he can sway a crowd in the wrong direction and get people to turn their nose in the wrong direction. Because it sounds good, because he's all fired up, and because we become emotionally connected to what he's saying. We need to be connected to the Spirit and the Word of God. I'm standing up here speaking to you, but brothers and sisters, it's not me that you need to be listening to. It's the Spirit of God you need to be listening to. It's the Word of God you need to be listening to. Moving on, physically. What turns my nose physically? And by that I mean, what makes me do and say and act the way I do? You know, for some reason, we as conservative Mennonites think that if we follow just a little bit behind the world, then we're not a part of the world. Why do we have that thought? I remember back when I was a youth. I don't remember who the speaker was, but I think it was at a youth conference or youth meeting of some sort. And the speaker was talking about the fads and the influences around us, the influence from the world. And he talked about the good and the bad influences, influences from people of God and influences from the world. And he questioned that, he asked that very question, why do we follow just a little bit behind the world in so many things? And he used this example. He said, if the world's fad would be that you have a strip of bacon behind each ear and two fried eggs on your head, would we follow that? And we would say, no, we wouldn't. Of course we wouldn't do that. But would it be okay if after a while we would have a strip of bacon behind one ear and maybe one fried egg on our head? Now you laugh at that, you grin. And I did too when I was a youth. But brothers and sisters, I have observed in my own life, and I have watched individuals over the years, and I have seen people with one strip of bacon and one fried egg. I asked the question, why? Some time ago, I drew an illustration on the board here. I drew a line down the center. I put God on one side and Satan on the other side. We all believe that there is a line. We all believe that there is right and wrong. And I asked the question then, and I'll ask it now. If we believe that following God and doing God's will is the only way that we can have salvation through Jesus Christ, the only way that we can have peace with God, the only way that we can have access to heaven, if we really believe that, then why do I spend so much time over here at the line as close to the other things as I can get? Why do I do that? One more thing that I'd like to look at, and that is financially. What gets me to turn my nose financially? What do I spend money on? Why do I have a job? Why am I earning money? Is it so that I can have what I want? Or is it so that I can have what I need and help to fill other individuals' needs with the extra? What is my goal? Is my goal to make a name for myself by what I have, and other people look at me and say, look at him. He's really made something of himself. I remember a man some years ago. I didn't know him that well. I met him a time or two. And he met an untimely death in an airplane crash. He was a man, businessman that was known in the community. He was a man that had faced a lot of hard times. He had just about gone bankrupt, but he by God's help got out of that and became a profitable businessman. And he was known as a profitable businessman. He owned an airplane. So he was profitable. But what most people did not know, and even his wife did not know about some of these things, there was people that came to the viewing and to the funeral and spoke to her and mentioned the things that this man had done for them and the money that he had used in order to help them. Brothers and sisters, am I willing, are you willing, to, in a quiet way, help somebody and not draw attention to yourself, but speak to them by your actions, by your willingness to share with them? You know, there's a lot of things in this world that want to draw our attention because we have finances. I remember back many years ago, an ad in a magazine, back when people still read magazines, and they were full of ads. And I remember this one ad. I remember it very clearly. I remember exactly what the ad was for. It was for a car, and if I would mention the car to you now, you would laugh because it's not that great a car. But there's a picture of the car on a street at a traffic light. Underneath the picture, in bold letters, it said, "You have 15 seconds at a traffic light to make an impression." They were telling you by that ad that you need that car to make an impression on people. They wanted to turn your nose that direction. They wanted you to go that direction. And brothers and sisters, if you're buying a vehicle to make an impression, you're buying a vehicle for the wrong reason. I've done it. And I know it's wrong. We buy a vehicle for transportation. We buy a good quality vehicle. There's nothing wrong with that. But if we buy a vehicle to make an impression, or we put add-ons on the vehicles to make impression, our nose is turned in the wrong direction. And I don't apologize for being blunt. Because if our nose is turned in that direction, our nose is turned away from the straight path that God wants us to walk on. It's turned away from the straight path that David prayed to God that God would make clear to him. We need to pray to God this morning that God would make his path clear to us and that we would have our eyes looking straight ahead and not turning to the left or the right. Ponder the path of thy feet, it says in Proverbs 4, verse 26. And let all thy ways be established. As we begin this new year, let's ponder the path of our feet. Let's consider, let's think about which way our nose is turned. Is it turned on a safe path to follow, or do we need to turn our head and get back on the straight path that God has for us? Turn to Psalm 1. Read some of this psalm in closing. We know this. Probably most of us know it by heart. But brothers and sisters, listen to this. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Let's pray.